WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Seriously, doing an NSYNC night?
No.
Is that what we're doing?
No, just the one song.
Okay. All right. Well.
I mean,
good evening, everyone.
I could.
No, you can't. Anyway, Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com as well, because they're amazing and awesome, and we love them. I'm your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman who swears it's not an NSYNC night, Sir Rockin.
I mean, it's not.
I just think it's very convenient that you did open the
But song. There's a reason, like, we're going to talk about a certain person whose favorite band is NSYNC tonight.
It's not his favorite band. Do not slander him like that.
Who's slandering? He's the one who brought it up.
He just said that JT was never going to come back because JT was too big of a star.
And he was quoting lyrics.
And he has daughters.
Still, he knows the music.
He has daughters.
At Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Liz, where you can tweet us through the show or go to the website she mentioned in the open.
Daughters. Anyway, we have a huge show planned for you tonight as we have news, notes, NXT, SmackDown, Tweet of the Week, all your favorites, and yes, we are going to get Extreme-ish, because we are talking about Extreme Rules later in the show. We're going to give you a recap and run down who won, who lost, and our thoughts generally of the show, which should be quick. That's all I'm going to say. Maybe. We'll see. So we jump right into the news. Spread to our friends over at Gerwick.net and FightBooth.com.
Sounds like a good idea.
So we are going to start with the biggest, most epic story of the week. I'm so excited for this. Oh my God, I can't wait, because we've asked for it, we've prayed for it, we've hoped, and it's coming. Fortnite is getting Funko Pops.
Blum, blum, Llama.
I swear to God, if they do a llama, which I think they're going to do a llama.
They have to do a llama.
If they do a llama, you are going to see nothing but llama pictures on my Instagram for like a month. Just that's all I'm going to say.
I think it's going to be more than a month, and you should do it on both accounts.
Yeah, probably. I'll just run around Atlanta and stick the llama around spots in Atlanta and get pictures with the llama. Because I'm a nerd like that. But yeah, also, Hulk Hogan got reinstated into the WWE Hall of Fame. Anyway, Funko Pops! Right? Right? Funko Pops. We're all super excited about that. We are totally not talking about the other thing, but that did happen. Hulk Hogan was reinstated into the WWE Hall of Fame.
That's fine.
This past week, statements.
Statements were made.
Statements were made. If you would like to read those statements, you are free to go to Kofi Kingston's Twitter, to Titus O'Neil's Twitter. I believe Mark Henry has also made comments, so feel free, go read those comments. We don't really have much to say on the subject other than we back the New Day. So go check that out if you like. The reaction to it has been mixed, to say the least. Some people are fine with it, some people don't care. I think a lot of people really don't care, and then some people are really super pissed off. So it is what it is. Just to kind of refute a couple reports on it, basically, people said that Titus O'Neil refused to shake Hogan's hand after he was backstage at Extreme Rules on Sunday, where he gave a speech to the locker room at an all-hands meeting. O'Neil cleared up those reports by saying that, you know, he did not storm out, like was reported. He did not refuse to shake Hogan's hand, that he was there for the meeting, and he left. Because they brought everybody in for the meeting and then they let everybody who wasn't booked leave. So he left voluntarily of his own free will. They didn't make him or stop him or force him or anything like that. And he never had a one-on-one encounter with Hogan, so he never shook the man's hand. So just to stop some fake news from getting spread about the wonderful Titus O'Neil, who is an amazing human being. And I strongly urge you to go read his statement because it's very, very well spoken.
It is very well spoken. He did a great job with it. So yeah, go read it.
Yes. Tremendous role model. Go Titus. We love you. But Funko Pops.
So beyond the llama, what do you want to say?
I don't know. I mean, I guess they're going to do the different skins. See, I came in season 4-ish and I watched you guys play season 4 and then I'm in season 5, so I don't think they're going to do anything season 5. So maybe they're going to do some of the vaulted skins, or maybe they're going to do a skin from each season. I don't know. I kind of hope they do like the visitor skin, because the visitor skin was cute. I would actually buy that one because I thought it was cool looking. The Daft Punk skin, for those people that don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, I just want the llama. I could care less about everything else. Just give me the damn llama.
Tomato head.
They could do the... oh my god, with... that would be hilarious if they did the your burger and the tomato head and the llama. Oh, but they could do the tomato guy. The tomato guy skin. You know what I'm talking about? As he goes silent on me.
Okay. Trying to think of what else. Be the der burger, the tomato head. They can't do John Wick because that's copyright. I mean, they could do a bunch of different ones. There's enough signature things in there. They could a chest. Easy.
I don't think they're going to do a chest, although it would be really cool if one of the characters comes with, like, a chest or comes with something from the game.
Slurp juice,
that would be cool.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. By the way, if you're going to any of the cons, because it's con season, MetroCon is this weekend, San Diego Comic-Con is going on right now. If you're there, go say hi to our buddy Michael Kingston. He's in that mass of humanity somewhere, so wave, say hi, support him, tweet The Rock so he can get his series made. All that good happy stuff, Headlocked. It's amazing, check it out. I have come up with a brilliant idea for con season.
Okay.
You find something resembling a pickaxe, doesn't matter what. You can Google this for reference. You can wear whatever the hell you want. You can even theme your pickaxe to your outfit, and you can say that you're a Fortnite skin.
I mean, now all you need are balloons.
Right?
Let's really think about it. All you need are balloons. Devil's Fan is going to the San Diego Comic-Con tomorrow for the Lucha Underground panel. Cool.
Well, if you see Michael Kingston, tell him we said hi and support his stuff.
Yes.
Because he's awesome.
Tell him the Rack says hello.
Tell him the Rack says hello.
But yeah, because he has his own booth and everything, he's going to have a bunch of Masked Republic people stop by throughout the weekend and a few other wrestlers. So check him out. We'll get his booth number once Lindsay talks about the next story.
Okay. And also, we forgot to talk about it last week, and it's convenient because they're up right now. So if you do play Fortnite and you are a wrestling fan, they do have Lucha skins as today's purchasable item. So go check that out if you are interested in buying them. They are the $15 skins. The girl is cute. I would recommend buying the girl. The guy, he's okay. But yeah, when we heard about the skins at the start of season 5, it's like, oh my god, they're going to do wrestler skins. It's amazing. And then I was like, they totally need to do licensed WWE Fortnite skins. I want, like, Xavier Woods, like, New Day skins, probably do YouTube. Well, there's already technically a Roman skin in there, but you could do a full-blown Roman skin if you wanted. You could do Brock, not that everybody really likes him, but, you know, pretty much any of their top stars, you could do a Fortnite skin of some variety and, like, make bank on it.
It's booth 1901. You can go check out the Headlock Space. So, check it out. Yeah, John Cena.
John Cena. He'd be a good one.
You can do the girls, Becky and Rhonda, and stuff like that.
Just saying, could be really cute if you're listening, Epic. Also, we want Playground back. Thanks! So moving on from all of that, because, you know, reasons, some of the Mae Young Classic participants have been announced for the upcoming tournament. Part of these were discovered via Renee Young's Twitter.
Yep.
So she has followed all the Mae Young Classic participants. We're only releasing the announced ones right now, just because it's like you don't want to read off a whole bunch of names, and then it's like, oh hey, look, they're not in it after all. So only releasing the confirmed names right now, and they are as follows: Tegan Knox, Deonna Purrazzo, Rena Gonzalez, Jessica Elabon, Nicole Matthews, Ginny, Casey Contenzero. I'm so sorry if I butchered your name. I do apologize.
She's the American Ninja Warrior.
Ah, okay. Several of these women have already signed to Performance Center contracts, including Deonna and Casey. Ginny is with WWE NXT UK. And I believe, I want to say Tegan is signed too, but I don't think she is.
I believe so, but I'm not 100% sure.
So yeah, so you have a nice mix in here. Is Ginny going to be well enough?
Yeah, she's going to be at the TV tapings later this month and for the UK tour show, and she's fine. It was a concussion. She's all right.
Okay. All right. Cool. Got to ask, because, you know, it's always scary when somebody has to leave a match. Speaking of NXT, it's been announced that War Games will be returning the night before Survivor Series in LA, so that should be a good time had by all.
Yep.
Shifting slightly, Slammiversary is this coming weekend.
Yes, it is, this Sunday, live on pay-per-view and via the Fight app in the UK and international markets. I believe it's also airing in the Fight app here in the States as well. You can get it, fight.tv, for all those things. Since you mentioned it, this is what we were going to do in the Tasteful Side Boo, but you got distracted by houses. Mm. Since Brent asked for it, this is an intern request. Slammiversary pick'em right here on the rack. Here we go. Tessa Blanchard versus Allie in a singles match. Tessa. In a 51-50 street fight, LAX versus the OGs of LAX, Hernandez and Homicide.
Wait, a 51-50 street fight?
A 51-50 street fight.
What is that?
Whatever the area code for street fight. It's a street
fight. Going with the old guys.
I'll go with the new guys. House of Hardcore rules match, Tommy Dreamer, Eddie Edwards.
Eddie.
Four-way match, Johnny Impact, Phoenix, Rich Swann, and Ishimori.
Rich Swann's an Impact?
Rich Swann is now an Impact.
Oh, okay. Good for him. Impact?
Johnny Impact. In a mask versus hair match, Pentagon Jr. versus Sami Callihan. Pentagon Jr.
Since are we saying who's going to win or who's going to get their head shaved?
Well, one loses the mask and one gets their head shaved.
Oh, Pentagon's winning and Callahan's going to get his head shaved.
Yeah.
Okay.
X Division Championship, Matt Sydal, Brian Cage.
Sure.
Sue Young, Madison Rayne for the Impact Knockout Championship.
Madison Rayne.
Sue Young. And for the Impact World Championship, Austin Aries versus Moose.
Who's the current champion?
Austin Aries.
Austin.
Moose. Speaking of that matchup, Toronto Blue Jays outfielder Curtis Granderson, a three-time MLB All-Star, will be the special title holder for the World Championship main event of Slammiversary, the Showcase Summer Spectacular from Impact Wrestling. There, intern, there's your picks.
Hey!
So speaking of the intern?
Speaking of the intern, the Blame Brents.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
In probably the most, like, random, bizarre injury? Kane. With a irritated ACL.
Achilles,
I'm sorry.
Possible torn Achilles.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He apparently tore it on the go-home for Extreme Rules, or injured it, I should say, because it's not confirmed that it's torn. He injured it, and so he showed up to the pay-per-view in a boot. And so that's why things happened on the pay-per-view happened that we will be talking about in the second segment of the show. And yeah, so poor Kane has possibly torn his Achilles. He's on the campaign trail. Oh God. He's less than a month away from an election and he has a torn Achilles. Oh, that's a bummer. Poor guy. Poor, poor guy. Feel bad for him. So yeah, blame Brent for Kane. RIP Team Hell No. NXT?
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Good show tonight, last night.
Oh god, it was such a good show last night. The women's match. Oh my god, the women's match.
Well, there were two
of them. The second women's match.
So quickly to go through. Lacey Evans defeated Dakota Kai. The match was fine. Solid win for Lacey Evans. Good showing by Dakota Kai.
Yeah, it was a good match for the two. Lacey, honey, the hair. That's all I'm going to say.
Ricochet talked highly of the Undisputed Era, except the exception of Adam Cole, who barely defends the title. He says he's hiding behind the title, and he wants his shot. He's going to be the North American champion, says Ricochet. So he wants a shot at the belt.
I'm on board for this 100%.
We had a Street Profits video, yada, yada, yada. They're obsessed with TM61.
They are cute.
EC3 was walking around. He ran into Kona Reeves. They went back and forth. It was just a little fun, little promo. Setting up a match.
I feel like Ethan's kind of looking at his past self, and he's like, oh no, no, this will not do.
Cassius Ohno beat some guy in less than a minute. We had an awesome video.
Wait. This is Jake Drinko. Something real quick. Can we go back to what they're calling Cassius Ohno?
The knockout artist?
No.
What they call him?
The Swiss Army Knife of NXT.
I did not catch that.
I was like, what?
Oh god.
What did you just call him? The knockout artist was way better. Like the Swiss Army Knife of NXT, I guess because he's, you know, obviously he's a multifaceted individual and he has lots of many styles and he can, you know, face off against people in a variety of fashions, but still the Swiss Army Knife.
I mean, it's not the worst nickname, but it does not fit him at all.
I feel like that was a meeting that somebody had, that it's like, we need to come up with a new name for Cassius Ohno, and however many hours they were locked in that room, that's the best they could come up with.
Or it may have been just Mauro on his own.
Could have been Mauro on his own, and if it was Mauro on his own, okay, it was Mauro on his own, but I feel like no. Mauro, I love you, but no. Please, no. Don't ever call him again. It's like the time that JR called Taker Big Red Booger.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, honey, no. Don't call him that.
The Undisputed Era cut a promo, talking about Ricochet and winning back the titles. I love that Bobby Fish now has a mini version of the Dusty Rhodes Trophy.
It's adorable.
Because he needs to hold something because everyone else has belts.
Well, you know, when he's better, they'll kick Roderick to the curb and then they'll just, you know.
Maybe not. There's an awesome video package on the War Raiders. They did a little interview in between it. Really good.
Really good intro to them and kind of who they are and where they've been. So nice job on that.
Velveteen Dream had a really cool green screen type interview thing.
It was really different and I enjoyed it thoroughly. And it was basically for War Games. It was the promo for War Games is what it was.
No, for just him in general. Because he went through all the matches.
But he was talking about War Games.
No, he went through all the matches though.
So.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was very cool.
But then what was really awesome was the main event. Nikki Cross, Candice LeRae, Kairi Sane, triple threat for the title shot at the NXT Women's Championship. You had Shayna Baszler on commentary who just blew off the announcers every time. Who do you want to face? Who do you want to face? Who do you want to face? But speaking of facing, you have Nikki Cross. Who
was not over.
Not
at
over,
all.
Not over. Candice came out. She had a smile on her face. But once Shayna came out, that smile on her face grew really big. She had those eyes where she wants some bang, bang, bangity bang. One more time with Shayna Baszler.
I don't blame her. I think they had a lot of fun. It was a good match. Yeah, Nikki was like giving her this small little wave. She's like, hey, how you doing? Shayna kind of blows her off. I love Nikki Cross. I love what they're doing with her. It's just really really enjoyable to watch, and it's incredibly different, which is so nice. But yeah, she was like half flirting, half eye banging Shayna Baszler, which was kind of amazing. And Shayna was just like, yeah, whatever.
But they had a great match. A really great match. They were given some time. Nikki's coming out to be looking like a star. Candace was fine in her role. She sold really, really well. Kairi Sane got the win. In a nice finish, Nikki hit the swinging neckbreaker, and then, actually no, Candace laid her out with the moonsault, and then, Zayn broke it up with the elbow. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. For the 1-2-3. Really good. I enjoyed the hell out of this matchup.
This was a fantastic matchup. I would highly recommend going and watching it again, but yeah, there are three legit contenders there, but Nikki Cross, the crowd was super behind her. They were about behind all three, but they were really behind Nikki. So they've got something there, and the question is what they do with it.
Who knows? She's been working the main roster, so we'll see.
But we'll see.
This was a hell of a main event. Solid show, hell of a main event.
Yes, agreed. So that does it for NXT.
Before we go to break, Candace really has one of the best women's themes right now.
She does. I love her music.
Anyway, now I'll go to break.
Love her in general, too. So we're going to take our first and only break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week, and we're getting extreme-ish, because we're going to be talking all about Extreme Rules, and we're going to mix a little SmackDown in there, too, because why not? So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Get chatty with CB Radio. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/CB Radio Live.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in... I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Rack Extra gets a little Bella in the form of Total Bellas.
It's not about you.
Technically, it's all about me.
Join us each week as we review the latest happenings going on in the world of the Bellas.
My husband doesn't know what a quickie is.
Ew. Listen to how sensitive he is.
My husband can't have like 2 minutes to 5 minutes of sex because he needs to start out with making out,
yeah,
and touching.
Whatever, that's
and,
fine.
Like,
no, that's
all
fine.
The time.
That's
all the time. What? Which I love, but sometimes I'm like, no, a quickie, like, come on.
Why don't you just say, hey, dude. Penis.
No, Cameron. No, I'll just be like, well, I can give, I guess for guys you call it a hand job.
Yeah, so what up?
No, I do. I have them do it all the time.
Yeah, so great. Sex. That's fantastic.
Check out the Rack Extra, Total Bellas Weekly at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
My mother is getting more than me.
It doesn't take him an hour to get up, I will tell you that.
People power!
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Instagram. Instagram.com/RackRadioShow.
Hey everyone, this is Angelina Love, your six-time knockout champion and the sacred seductress, and you are doing the right thing because you are listening to the Rack Radio Show.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. And if you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBook.com as well. And we're not going to waste time because Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Sadly, I had a lot of work this week, so I wasn't able to get a ton of tweets, but I do have two. Tommaso Ciampa, 13 years ago, I made my WWE debut. I often wonder if Taker realized he was sharing the ring with the greatest sports entertainer of all time. And he includes pictures of him and Taker together.
Of course not.
Tommaso. Drew Gulak, super excited for WWE Extreme Rules tomorrow. Anyone who knows me knows how much I love the rules. Kudos to the powers that be for hosting an entire evening dedicated to our rule system. Hashtag rules rule. Hashtag for a better 205 live. Oh god, Drew, I love you so much.
He is the best.
It's just amazing. Anyway, that's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Okay. Deion Purrazzo, I just hammered this into the wall. I'm ready for my own HGTV show, and it's a clock. P.S. Marty's man I just hammered into the wall. Of course he is.
Of course.
Liv Morgan, Hotel Room Chronicles, I opened the coffee condiments package so I can use both stirrers as chopsticks so I can eat my salad. Hashtag no fork. Hashtag MacGyver. You gotta do what you gotta do when you gotta do it.
They didn't have a plastic fork downstairs?
Apparently not.
Okay.
Or she didn't want to go downstairs. I don't know. It's a thing. EC3 replied, at that point, you just shrug off the regret and go full cell hands. He has a point. He has a point.
He does have a point.
WWE dad jokes. Why does WWE make animated movies with Scooby-Doo? They want to have at least one big dog fans will care about.
Ouch. Oh, damn, that's harsh.
Someone goes, Kevin G goes, a terrible wrestler, her character is going to disappear when she loses the title. She can't wrestle. Promos are horrible. Terrible. The whole Staten Island Queen persona is stale. I feel sorry for her after this title run. I hope she invested wisely because the future looks bad. Carmella replies, oh, don't feel sorry for me. Number one, I'm the champ. Number two, I beat Asuka and Charlotte twice. Number three, first ever Miss Money in the Bank. Number four, I'm hot. Number five, I'm rich. Number six, I'm damn good at what I do. Number seven, I am humble AF. I actually feel sorry for you, Kev.
Damn.
Zack Ryder.
She was on fire.
She was. Zack about it. Happy birthday, Mojo Raleigh. JK, I hope your day sucks.
Zach!
Corey Graves, I just said good morning to the hotel clerk. It was 10:17 p.m. I'm officially fried. That is bad.
That is bad, but, you know, when you travel as much as they do, you don't know which end is up oftentimes.
Dan Duval, my mom has a podcast, but you can only hear it if you have the password to my voicemail. WWE, it's National Hot Dog Day. Have you seen the Dean Ambrose? Seth Rollins, I had relish in my crack for 2 days.
Did not need to know that, Seth. Did not need to know that.
Let's take it down. My darling daughter just said, Tom Brady sucks, as they showed the nominees for best male athlete. My son and I said he far from sucks, to which he replied, he couldn't catch anything in the Super Bowl. WWE creative-ish. WWE 2K19 storyline includes a minigame where you have to do whatever you can to avoid actually having to wrestle. Bubba Ray Dudley. It's Tommy Dreamer. And it puts a picture of it. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's a whale. Airbus introduced a new Beluga XL plane that looks like a flying whale. Bubba. It's so wrong.
It's your friend.
And finally, the all-around tweeted. What would you grade the Toronto San Antonio trade from the Raptors side? Mina Kime. I give it an A.
Really? Really?
Yep. I give it an A. An A.
Extreme. And on that note, Extreme Rules was this past Sunday. It emanated from Pittsburgh. Although some people were saying it was in Philly. It's like, no, that was a way too calm crowd for Philly.
Don't
no
you,
better
don't,
involved.
Don't really. Don't confuse Pittsburgh with Philly, but really.
They weren't drunk enough to be Philly. Philly shows up pretty drunk, damn it. And then they just get worse throughout the night.
So thoughts overall on the show?
You good?
Yeah, what are your overall thoughts on the show?
Okay, overall thoughts on the show. I don't think the show was as bad as a lot of people were saying it was. To me, it was a solid show. It was not the greatest thing I've ever seen. It definitely had flaws, but I felt this was a lot better than I think what a lot of people felt. But that's just me. I'll tell you what really, really helped, and God bless these people, and they deserve raises in every sense of the word, is the WWE video production department, and the fact that they can put together a hell of a promo package. Like, just overall, basically hyping up the match. They did a wonderful job taking what we've seen over the last few weeks and really turning it into something absolutely spectacular. So props to them. Also props to the graphics people. Everything was great on that end. Love that, because I'm an art nerd like that. But, I mean, the overall show, that was fine. Show opened with Sin Cara versus Andrade Cien Almas. This was basically a showcase for Andrade.
It was the same type of match they did on SmackDown the week before. This time, just more Andrade, less Sin Cara. And, yeah. It was okay. Andrade won. Really,
and
really
not
came
really
out.
A surprise to anybody.
No, not really. We'll talk more Andrade in a little bit. We had a tables match, New Day versus Sanity.
And this was insane.
It was good.
This was a good match. This was a good match. I wouldn't mind seeing another one of these.
Dane with a nice big dive through the ropes. They had a cool Tower of Doom spot with Kofi.
Yeah, they did.
That was cool. They're now making Killian Dane wear a shirt.
Well,
And they've trimmed his hair.
Yeah.
Just saying.
The Glam Squad got a hold of Killian Daniel.
Wolf was holding out Kofi, and Eric Young dropped him with an elbow through a table. The spot was awkward, but it worked. Sanity got the win.
Got the job done.
Sanity got the win. That's the first win they got on the main roster. It was a much needed win.
Yeah, they needed this. They need a lot of momentum right now, so this will definitely help them. And if they continue to put on matches like this, I think that'll be really, really beneficial to them. So then we go to the main show where, well, we started with it right out of the gate. Raw tag team titles are on the line as the Deleters of Worlds.
Yes.
Take on the B team. You goddamn Rotunda teases. You bastards. How dare you do that to us? How dare you? Rude. Very rude. Don't know what I'm talking about, which if you don't, then you didn't watch the show. Why are you listening to this if you didn't watch the show? But anyway, so part of this was everybody, I think, out there, or not everybody, but a good portion of people want to see Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas fight. They want to see it, and they have very intentionally kept them apart in this feud. And they have not really touched each other a lot. It's all been very intentional. And so we get to the match. I think everybody was anticipating it. Everybody was ready for it. You have the moment where Bo's in the ring. He's facing off against Matt. And Matt tags out to Bray. And Bray gets in the ring, and there's a roar of the crowd because everybody's super excited. It's like, oh my god, yes, we're going to get it. They're going to fight. And the two of them, like, narrow their eyes at each other, and they snort, and they spit, and they circle each other, and they do all the manly things that you're going to do when you fight. And then Bo's like,
nah, screw it.
And tags out.
And then Bray goes on and just starts beating on Curtis, and he taunts over his brother. He seduces his brother with his eyes.
That sounds so wrong. Number two.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I'm just saying, it's wrong, that's all. Honey, you need to take your ass to church for what you did to Curtis Axel Sunday night. I mean, to say that he was a slut is an understatement. He got up and he worked that corner, man. That's just all he did. I mean, he was in really rare form for him. We haven't seen him like that in a long time. Boy's a little needy. He needed some lovin'. He got him some lovin' from Curtis Axel, that's all I'm gonna say. But yeah, I mean, like, and what I'm talking about is the moment where Bray Wyatt, basically, I don't know how else to describe it other than he drags his manly areas up Curtis Axel's back and, like, holds Curtis Axel down while he's taunting Bo Dallas. I mean, it was just like, what the hell did you just do?
What I thought was cool, getting away from that, we had the Let's Go B-Team, B-Team sucks chant.
That was amazing.
We finally got Bo and Bray during the Bray's hot tag, but Matt and Bray would collide at one point during the melee. Matt got hit with this spinning neckbreaker off of the hanging spinning neckbreaker thing. And the B-Team are your new Raw Tag Team Champions.
I'm really excited for this. I know it cost me points in fantasy, but I don't care because I think it's really cool that they did it. They put the titles on the B Team, and they were so adorably excited. The look on Matt Hardy's face, I think, said everything it needed to say for the Deleters of Worlds. Like, Hardy was just, like, not happy. But in terms of the B Team, they were just ecstatic. They were adorable. Bo Dallas, when he, like, got the three, he's like, what the hell just happened?
What am I supposed to do? How do I celebrate this thing?
He's like, wait, we won? We just became the... Like, it was just the end-all, be-all WTF look. And part of me kind of wonders if he didn't know he was going to win.
Well, he knew he was going to win, and still, he doesn't know how to react in those situations.
So, it's just like, it was so adorably cute. And they're celebrating, and you have Charlie Caruso come out on the stage, and she's interviewing them, and she's like, so how do you feel? You just won the Raw Tag Team Championships. And Curtis is like, how does a rainbow feel? How did Stretch Armstrong feel when he landed on the moon?
Oh, Curtis.
You tried. You didn't succeed, but you tried.
You tried, and then we all know what the B Team stands for.
The B in Team stands for best. So your new Raw Tag Team Champions, the B Team. Very thrilled for them. They deserve it. Up next, finally, y'all, it's damn real. Kurt Angle says basically he is sick of Brock Lesnar's crap and that, you know, Brock has turned down every match opportunity that Kurt has sent his way. He's over it. He's done with it. So, basically, if Brock Lesnar does not agree to fight or show up on Raw this past Monday, he will strip Brock of the Universal Championship. And of course, we all know how that turned out.
Now, here's my problem with this whole thing for a second. It was, when he says it, he could have just agreed to any fight. Like, he didn't have, the way he worded it, he didn't have to agree to SummerSlam. He could have agreed at any point, the way Kurt put it on Sunday.
I didn't like that he gave him three options. It's basically, you either show up.
That's more the point.
Yeah, or you get stripped of the title. It should have been more, no, you will defend the title, or you will be stripped of it.
Yeah, he may have screwed up his lines.
I mean, that's really what it should have been, but it's whatever. It was effective. It got the point done. It got a huge reaction from the crowd where everybody's like, you know, pretty much everybody was chanting, strip him. Because I think, you know, we're all a little tired of it. And what they've been doing has worked in terms of getting people to be tired of him. So, yeah. But it's like, oh God, finally they're doing something about it. Because, you know, again, it's been since May since we've seen him. And it's July going in August.
We'll see him in 2 weeks.
So, yeah, that's a little bit long to not have your champion on TV. Up next, we had Finn Balor taking on Constable Baron Corbin.
Eh.
Oh, I just want to say one thing. I don't know who the writer is that is so hot on the big guy, little guy storylines, but you don't need it in this case. Like, you could have dropped that from this story And it would have been so much better without it, because it's Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin. It's like, it's Corbin thinks he's superior to Balor, and Balor thinks he's better than, you know, it's basically Corbin's problem with Balor is that, I should say that, because it took me a second to get there, is that Balor thinks he's better, because he's been on the indies, and Corbin is homegrown. And so Corbin is like, screw you, I'm going to show you what I can really do. And plus, it's also Corbin asserting his newly found authority over Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have told that story just way better than what they did. I mean, in terms of the match, it was fine.
It was fine.
It wasn't anything spectacular. It was actually probably the best Baron Corbin's looked in a long time.
That had a lot to do with Finn Balor.
Well, still, but he still looked...
He looked better, but it was all Finn that sold well for him.
I know, but still.
Corbin can throw a hell of a clothesline.
Yes, he can.
Finn won with a small package.
That's not lost. So,
just saying.
Up next, we mentioned this earlier in the news, where Kane had hurt his foot before Extreme Rules. Well, here's the payoff to that. Basically, they had the Bludgeon Brothers attack Team Hell No backstage, and you have Kane down on the ground, gripping his leg, he's injured, and Paige is hovering over them. They're separating, the referees and the officials are separating everybody, and Paige and Brian are with, basically Brian and Kane are both on the ground, but I think Brian got to Kane's side at one point. I know Paige was there. And it's like, what's going on? Is Kane out of the match? Is the match over? Like, what's the deal?
Right. So, teaser. We'll get to it in a little bit. Up next, SmackDown Women's Championship. James Ellsworth is in a cage. Carmella versus Asuka.
I know a lot of people did not like this match.
Well, there's a lot not to like because it wasn't a match.
But she beat the shit out of James Ellsworth.
She did.
That's the one redeemer in this match, is that you had basically James Ellsworth is up in the cage. He tosses a chain down to Carmella. That gets kicked out of the ring. Asuka gets pissed. Then he tosses down the hairspray. And this is where the announcers are like, did nobody frisk Ellsworth before they put him in there? And so they start like fighting in quotations and having issues, and Ellsworth starts to pick the lock in the cage. And of course, you know, he tries to get out. He tries to climb down from the cage, and he gets stuck. His pants get caught in the cage, and he's suspended upside down from the cage into the ring, which means one thing. He's officially Asuka's personal punching bag.
Pinata.
She starts kicking the absolute crap out of him. They separate them long enough to get Ellsworth down. Asuka then goes back for Ellsworth and starts beating him up. I mean, I know this was not a good match for Carmella. I know this didn't showcase her, but I don't think it was really meant to. It was more meant to have Ellsworth get his comeuppance, and then probably SummerSlam, Carmella will get hers.
Maybe. It was Asuka versus Ellsworth. Carmella was there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Don't blame Carmella for the match. She had nothing to do with it. She wasn't involved. She took bumps. That's what she did. That's it.
She basically stalled until Ellsworth got out of the cage.
And then Carmella shoved Asuka into the cage, got the 1-2-3.
Yep.
Then Asuka beat up Ellsworth after the match.
Yep.
Next.
In the shortest match of the night.
6 seconds.
6 seconds. U.S. titles on the line as Jeff Hardy, a.k.a. Broken Jeff Hardy, takes on Shinsuke Nakamura.
Get it right. Brother Nero.
He's not Nero. He just said he was broke. So we have Woken Matt, Broken Jeff. This was, like we said, extremely quick. Shinsuke low blow Jeff before the bell, and Jeff's in the corner holding on to his balls, trying to calm down, you know, trying to make everything stop hurting. The ref's like, are you good? Are you good? Are you not good? And Jeff's like, no, I'm good. I'm good. Let's go. Let's do it. And he kind of stands up, still holding on to everything. They ring the bell. Kinshasa, 1-2-3, your brand new United States champion, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Then the Viper returned. Randy Orton cut music plays. He slowly walks to the ring. Shinsuke's like, what's going on? What's going on? He's clutching his title. He gets in the ring and stomps Jeff Hardy in the nuts.
Honestly, I didn't miss Randy. I hate to say that. That's horrible to say. But when he came back, I was like, oh yeah, right. He still does work there, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. So, heel Randy's back.
Randy's back!
We'll talk more heel Randy in the SmackDown Throwdown. It was fine. You got the point across.
It was what it was. It was a good way to have Randy Orton return. And for Shinsuke Nakamura to get the U.S. title. But I feel like they sort of stole a little bit from Shinsuke's victory, because obviously they hit Randy come back. So,
What's next?
And really, to me, what was one of the contenders for match of the night? Kevin Owens versus Braun Strowman in a steel cage. Kevin Owens, number one, died for our sins in this match, so we should all be very thankful to him. But this was really entertaining to watch.
Kevin's really good.
Kevin is extremely good, and Braun plays off of him really well.
I love the part where, Kevin Owens is trying to run away, and Kevin Owens, it's fight, Owens, fight! Fight me!
Yeah, Braun basically calls him a coward and tells Owens to fight him. I think at one point Kevin told him to suck it.
We'll get to that. Owens broke out the stunner, Braun then gets handcuffed, got handcuffed somehow to the ropes, and then as Owens is leaving, he tells Braun Strowman to suck it. And then does the kiss goodbye, aka like CM Punk did once he left. But wouldn't you know it, Braun Strowman breaks out of the handcuffs and quickly gets up the cage. Like
that
super,
was scary how fast he got up that
super
cage.
Super quick.
And Braun Strowman is kind of a terrifying human being. I'm sure he's a teddy bear, but that man is like scary fast lot of ways.
Oh yeah. He quickly got up there and chokeslammed him through a table. Off the top of the cage. Kevin Owens won. Scary bump. Entertaining match.
This was... I loved the finish of this match. Because it's like, yes, you had Braun Strowman lose. But the fact that you had Braun Strowman lose at his own hands, and he gives nothing, no cares about it whatsoever, was perfect. Absolutely perfect. Like, to the point that he's walking away from the cage up the ramp, and he's like, "And your winner, Kevin Owens," just sarcastic as hell. I mean, it was just perfect the way they did this. I love the finish to this match.
But there was something that came out of it.
Yes.
Shania Twain now needs to sing "When," because in their little thing at the concert, she said she'll sing it if he beats Braun Strowman.
Well, he beat Braun Strowman. She didn't say how. She just said...
Beat him.
Beat him. So, Owens did. So, Shania, you better start practicing when.
Exactly. Now, in what was probably a disappointing match, but now we know why, Bludgeon Brothers, Team Hell No, SmackDown Tag Team Titles, I was really looking forward to this matchup.
I was really excited for this match. I'm super bummed that Kane got hurt, like, the week before.
Mm-hmm.
And he could not wrestle, because this would have been a really fun as hell match if he had not gotten injured.
So,
but unfortunately he did.
He did. So Daniel Bryan, playing injured himself, had to hold his own against the Bludgeon Brothers, which he did in a handicap matchup for a while. Bryan went for a big dive, got caught. Rowan was holding him open. Harper did his dive. Bryan got out of the way, hits Rowan, out limps Kane in his walking boot. Hits choke slams on both men. Goes for the tombstone, can't get him up. You have the doomsday powerbomb clothesline combo for the win. Bludgeon Brothers retain tag titles.
It was an okay match. Like I said, I wish it had been able to be more, but unfortunately it just couldn't be with Kane's injury. I loved the way that Rowan and Harper played this when Bryan came out by himself, where they were just legit delighted that Bryan was there on his own and they were just going to be able to pick him apart.
Yeah.
It was just a perfect way to play this. I loved that part of this. But yeah, I had really, really high hopes for this match, and it's just like Kane got hurt and it's like, oh, that's a bummer.
Like going in, that was one of the matches I was looking forward to.
Yeah. So it's very unfortunate we didn't get this in full, but maybe we get it in future. We'll just have to see what the cards hold with that. Anyway, backstage, our most beloved idiots, aka the Big B Team, are still celebrating their tag team title victory. They're running around, chanting and screaming and being all excited because they won. And they walk up to Roman Reigns, who's just casually strolling by. And basically, Bo offers Roman a chance to be a part of the B Team if he can beat Bobby. But there was almost a point where Bo's like, all you have to do, and everybody's waiting for it, right? Everybody's waiting for the Bo leave, because we all know it's coming. And then he's like, beat Bobby.
He suckered us in.
It's like, God damn it, you tease! You utter tease! And then he's almost like, what, did you think I was going to say something else?
Such a tease, that Bo Dallas. Speaking of Bo Dallas, you need to go out of your way, people, and watch the Bo show.
Oh my god, the Bo show! Oh my god!
It was great.
It was fantastic. Loved every second of it. They're utter dorks.
They are.
But they're adorable.
Their celebration was great. Anyway, what's next?
Roman Reigns versus Bobby Lashley. This was there. This happened.
Crowd wasn't as bad as it was last month, but it was still bad. The matchup was okay. Lashley wins with a spear. Calendar spear. The comeback was good. There was some good near falls. Lashley got the win. It was what it was.
Like I said, it was there. It wasn't anything really to write home about, but it was fine. I mean, I didn't think it was terrible. It was very slow in the beginning.
Yeah.
And that was what made it kind of hard to watch, was it was very, very slow in the start.
See, here's the problem, and this is a problem that's been happening a lot lately with Roman Reigns pay-per-view matches. They come in with slow starts. So you're giving the crowd time to crap on it. If you came out hot and you came out firing, the crowd wouldn't be so bad. But you're already giving them the opportunity to crap on something. And, well, that's what happens. So, yeah, probably that's the one. Can't really add more to that.
No.
What's next?
Up next, we have the Raw Women's Championship on the line as Alexa Bliss is taking on Nia Jax with Ronda Rousey at ringside.
In the crowd.
In the crowd, and joining Alexa and Nia, respectively, are Mickie James and Natty. This was a fun little brawl.
It was fun. It was a fun match. Not technically sound or anything. It was fun. A lot of weapons and stuff. When Ronda got in the Raw, it got really intense. She murdered Mickie. Almost looked like she ripped her shirt off at one point.
Yeah, Ronda needed to be careful about pulling Mickie around by her top. We could have had a wardrobe malfunction right there. That would have been awkward.
Would have been very awkward if that did happen. But, yeah, Alexa hit the DDT, retains her belt. I enjoyed this matchup. Not a lot to recap, but it was very fun. It was very cool. Ronda's really good, and we say that all the time. We said that a lot on Monday. Ronda's really good.
I'd like to point out, because people kind of freaked out about this, where it's like they were basically saying that, you know, the suspension is a joke, yada, 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 yada. I'd like to, you know, and we pointed this out Monday, but I want to say this again, that, you know, basically every suspension is a joke in WWE, you know, when they're done on TV. And number two, she served, what, like 28 days of her 30-day suspension? Like, she's been gone that long off of TV.
Now, you have to remember the key words in the suspension. She was suspended from Monday Night Raw.
Well, I'm not talking about the house show appearances. I'm just talking about on TV in general. She has not been on in a month.
No.
But my point is that it's like, you know, what, earlier in the year, Roman Reigns was suspended for attacking Brock Lesnar, and he showed up every week, and everybody was all over him about it, both good and bad. And they're like, oh, this is fine, but she does it. And it's like, oh, no, this is bad. So, no, this is the way they always do suspension storylines, is the person comes back early and attacks the heel. Or the babyface, depending on the situation, to get their comeuppance. I mean, that's how this works. So the fact that you had Ronda sitting there, she had served most of her suspension, she was there, she'd bought a ticket, she jumps the guardrail and attacks Alexa, who's, you know, deserves it. That happens.
It happens. It was
all the time.
It added to the match.
I thought it was fine. I thought it was good. It didn't bother me in the least. So, and I liked how they did get around the match between Alexa and Nia. They're getting very creative on how to get around that, because it's like, I think they understand that it is a little bit of a mismatch between the two, because Alexa just cannot match Nia in terms of power.
Not even close. Power, size, yeah.
Yeah, all of it. Nia just would beat the crap out of her in real life. So they're finding ways to get around that, which is good.
Yeah.
Up next, we have the WWE Championship match where AJ Styles is taking on Rusev on Rusev Day.
This was my match of the night.
This was really good.
Very entertaining.
Very entertaining.
Very, very entertaining. Rusev sold his leg well. AJ sold his back well. You had really good stuff throughout this matchup. A lot of great near falls. The best spot of the matchup was Rusev went for the accolade,
mm-hmm.
but couldn't keep it locked in because, and you pointed out as we were watching, it's like, why can't you need to use both arms, hook both arms? But he was selling the leg, which was perfect.
Yeah, Rusev sold the leg the entire match.
So it's like he couldn't lock in the accolade perfect and fully because he had him locked in the accolade. Aiden English exposed the turnbuckle. Rusev ran into it accidentally. There was a long two count after a 450, but the phenomenal forearm by AJ Styles retains his belt. Really good, entertaining matchup. Best showing from Rusev in a long time. AJ is the champ for that reason. My match of the night.
I like this match. I wish they would give Rusev more like this. I wouldn't mind seeing another one of these between AJ and Rusev. I would be completely fine with that. But yeah, AJ manages to retain the title and Rusev is sent packing on Rusev Day. It's a sad Rusev Day.
Very sad Rusev Day.
And then in kind of the head-scratcher main event of the night, still not 100% sure why this was the main event and not the AJ Styles match, but it's their show. They can do what they want.
Because it was the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
It was?
In an Iron Man match, you have Dolph Ziggler taking on Seth Rollins for the IC title. Best of series, essentially, for those of you that are not familiar with Iron Man matches. First fall went to Rollins, about 4.5 minutes. Second fall went to Rollins. third fall went to Rollins via DQ when Drew gets involved. And
then Drew just beat on him for a while, so it's like, maybe there should have been another disqualification, but it was only the one. He gets tossed, and so Ziggler takes over. He gets a bunch of falls to tie it all up. But through that point, the crowd is starting to do a countdown for every minute. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Over and over again on the minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
They did it for the majority of that matchup. So at one point during the match, they killed the clock in the arena. So when they did that, the crowd for like every 30 seconds on their own would just start counting down because they had no clock to go off of. They were screaming. They were chanting for bring the clock back. Didn't happen until later in this thing when Ziggler and Rollins, or I think it was mainly Rollins, like demanded that the ref tell them in the back, put up the clock because we need it for our finishes.
Right.
So they eventually got the clock back up. Ziggler was up 4-3. Rollins gets the tie with 3 minutes to go. Hits the stomp, but time was up after a one count. Kurt Angle came out, does a restart. Drew, who was tossed out of the way, caused a distraction. Ziggler gets the quick win and retains his championship. Fine match, but crowd really crept on it.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of posts of mixed reactions in terms of the way that the crowd behaved, and normally they do this in Roman's match. And they didn't. They were actually pretty well behaved during Roman's match.
Yeah, they were okay.
Well, for them, they were pretty bit well behaved. But they basically crapped all over this match. Which it's like you keep asking for different people in main events. You keep asking for different people to get pushed. You have Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler in the main event of Extreme Rules fighting for the IC title in an Iron Man match. It's everything that the IWC could want. And they kind of sort of like just shat all over it. Which, I've seen a lot of people saying, well, I bought a ticket, therefore I'm entitled to do whatever I want. I can chant whatever I want. Yeah, you can. You have every right to chant what you want, but that still doesn't make you any less of an asshole for doing it. And I think what bothers me is just the entitlement of people, and I'm not calling out anybody in particular, but just the entitlement of wrestling fans, because it's very clear that we are part of the problem. And I'm just going to say that outright. Wrestling fans, you, me, everybody listening to the show, in some way, shape, or form, we are part of the problem with wrestling right now, because there are people who, because of the way that they're acting and because of the way that they're treating certain things, they're ruining things. And it's, you have companies that are reacting or not doing what you want, and there's a reason why they're not doing that. It's because you're acting the way that you are. And we can get into that later, but I'm just saying, it's like, I've seen a lot of people basically trying to justify the fact that they acted like dicks during this match for the sake that, oh, well, I paid for a ticket. Okay, yeah, but you also have two really good wrestlers in the ring putting on a really actually very good match for you, and you're being jerks. You're being incredibly rude. Like, no wrestler, I'm sorry, whether you like them or you don't like them, they don't deserve that. I get you're having fun, all that other stuff, fine, whatever, but still, it's like, don't go to a show and be a jerk just to be a jerk, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of my little mini spiel on that. But yeah, this was good. I'm still not entirely sure why this was the main event, beyond it was just a 30-minute Iron Man match. Really felt like the AJ Styles should have closed, just because to me personally, and this is my opinion, that the WWE Championship should have closed, but it's like, okay, well, during the Rollins match, it's like, well, maybe Ambrose is going to show back up, maybe something else is going to happen because it is the main event, and nothing really came at the end of this. It was just Dolph Ziggler retaining, and that's it.
So, yeah.
It kind of felt a little flat, honestly.
It did. I went 7-4, you went 6-5, the 8 ball went 4-7.
Woohoo, beat the 8 ball! Yay!
SmackDown?
SmackDown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Showdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
So, this was a fine show. I saw most of the show. Lost power during part of the show. The main event was Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jeff Hardy for the United States Championship. Randy Orton returned again on this one, and he did something weird. He was sticking his finger into the ear of Jeff Hardy. He was like, ooh, that is disgusting.
He was leading him around by the hole in his ear.
That was, vicious and, disgusting. It works for a heel, but, that was extreme.
But no, we need to talk about the segment of the night.
Well, we're going to get there. Let me go through everything else really quick first.
Okay.
Eric Young will be Kofi Kingston.
Go, Eric.
AJ Styles and Andrade Cien Almas had a really good opening contest.
Yes, they did.
I'm sad Andrade lost, but it was a really good matchup.
I'll take another one of those.
I'll take another five of them. They were really, really good. Becky Lynch beat Mandy Rose. Becky Lynch wants a championship match. So if she can beat Carmella next week, she will get her title shot. So we'll see if that happens.
Bye, Carmella. Nice knowing you.
Samoa Joe choked out Ty Dillinger. And now the segment you want to talk about, and go.
So the segment of the night.
Of the week.
Of the week was Kane. Daniel Bryan lost on Sunday. Kane has torn his Achilles, we think. Oh no. What does The Miz do? The Miz decides he's going to have a funeral for Team Hell No. So he comes out, he has pallbearers, not the pallbearer, but just pallbearers, and they're rolling a casket draped in black velvet to the ring, and on top is a mannequin head with Kane's mask. It's on a purple pillow and everything.
By the way, the head looks like Kane.
It does.
Which was creepy.
It was really creepy. It's probably the form that they put the mask on to keep the mask
That's
from.
What I mean, but it was really creepy.
It was really creepy.
Anyway, continue.
It's like they have a dismembered head on the okay.
Yep, that's a thing.
So they get to the ring. They have a small little setup for Miz TV. Miz is in all black. He's very mournful. They bring the head up into the ring. They put it up on a pedestal. And then Miz just goes for the jugular and starts being an utter dick. Which, of course, prompts Daniel Bryan to come out to defend the family honor, like you do.
This is where he said that they would be. Bye, bye, bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were in-sync quotes.
Yeah.
So Daniel Bryan comes out, goes after Miz to defend the family honor. Miz escapes. The pallbearers end up getting buried because Daniel Bryan just takes all of them out. He's in a rage. He's in a fury. He can't stand it. And here is the setup for Miz versus Bryan at SummerSlam. Not that we really needed it, but damn it, I'll take it.
Yeah, Miz took credit early for predicting all the things with the broken down cane and everything like that. And this was a perfect setup, perfect angle. This is a hot feud. Everyone wants to see this matchup. I can't wait.
We've been waiting years to see Daniel Bryan punch Miz in the face, and now we're finally going to get it.
We're going to probably get it here soon, yeah.
I'm beyond excited for this. Cannot wait. But yeah, this was an absolutely wonderful segment. Talking about it does not do it justice. You really do have to go watch this. It's just highly entertaining. It's probably on YouTube, so just go check it out. But yeah, great segment. Very well done.
Solid show.
Very solid show. So I think that does it for us. What do you think?
It does. Stay tuned following the show. We'll be off for about 5 minutes. When we come back, there will be Fortnite on the stream, so check that out. Saturday night, though, midnight edition, CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual, CBRadioLive.com, TheGreatDebate.com. Sunday, maybe. Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Omega's in at the con, so maybe not a show. So, stay tuned to the Facebooks, facebook.com/WTRSunday and twitter.com/WTRSunday to make sure. Monday, it's Raw Post 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Total Battle Season 3, Episode 8, now available. Episode 9 will be available on Wednesday. Coming soon will be the Rack Extra Reviews. Miz and Mrs. will be available on Tuesday. Rack Radio Show on all your favorite social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Instagram, all that fun stuff. It's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. Never again, subscribe and follow twitch.tv/WTRLive.
You can follow me on Twitter at LensWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychworddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LensWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out the amazing, awesome sponsors, Gerwick.net, fightboot.com, and MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So like Rock said, give us a couple minutes, we're going to go offline, grab some drinks, get settled in, and we will be back with Fortnite. But till then, you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.